This interview highlight package is brought to you by Sowetan Live.
Do you ever feel any pressure to show up as something Soweto who's been killing it in the game for so long?
Not really. I think the pressure is only with the work that I'm working on. And unlike most artists, like in most cases, my audience is not surprised at some of the stuff that I'm working on, because I think I work closely with my audience to find out exactly what they would like to see or hear from me.
Mm-hmm.
I go into like a process where, you know, I call A and B, where like I'll think to my audience, hey, I'm not sure what I need to do, but I'm thinking maybe make an album and do like a live show.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like, I don't know, try to fly to the moon, I don't know. And then I'd ask my audience, okay, what do you guys want out of this thing? And they'd tell me, nah, we're feeling a show. And based on majority, I'll start creating a show. And then I'll ask, like, what type of show, you know, should I make, like, a gospel show or a show of my old works or a show of my new work? Mm. And I'll say, ah, we like your old work, yeah. And that kind of leads and guides what I, you know, set into production. So, you know, and then I use my creativity to kind of, you know, create something that they're going to enjoy within a very understandable scope.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, the pressure is there as far as like presenting to an audience, because you never really know. But I think I go into production with way more information than the average artist.
Yes, I get that. They get to navigate what type of music they're feeling. This is your fan base, right?
Yes, definitely. That's all I make music for. That's all I make music for.
Those are facts. That's a fact. Yes, you might get inspiration from them or influence from them as to how your creativity should be in sound format, right? But what generally inspires you? What would you say you derive inspiration from, or what would you say is your muse in terms of your music? Yes, they might tell you, we want the gospel, this, or want to feel light, or we're in love now. We want to hear love songs. That I get. They negate you to a certain point. But then what inspires something Soweto in that process? That now this is my audience and this is what they want.
Well, I like making art, you know? Like, I like making music and producing and writing and doing all these things. But I also like making music that people actually like.
Mm-hmm.
I like really creating content that people are really excited to experience.
Mm.
I think that's what guides me.
You have a ritual, maybe? Like, do you go somewhere and just say, okay, here, this is my place? Because a lot of people go to boot camps, you know? A lot of people find going to the mountain or going somewhere to get inspiration for sounds and stuff. That's essentially what I'm asking. Like, what inspires you? Where do you go to find that inspiration?
Inspiration to create content that people like.
Mm.
You want my inspiration or my motivation?
Both. They can be inspiration or motivation. Or what motivates you? Like, how do you get to the sound that we hear on your album, or the songs that are on your album? Where did you go to get that inspiration or motivation?
Well, the motivation, I think I was talking about motivation this whole time.
Mm.
Is to create content that people really like.
Mm.
And resonate with. My inspiration, my inspiration, it comes from everywhere, you know, and it's not something that I can articulate really well, but I can tell you for a fact, a lot of it has to do with me living my life and just existing. If you observe enough, if you're observant enough, you'll find something about life that is really amazing that you can touch on or use as a means to like communicate some creative creative expression. Like on my album, for example, my album is full of love songs. It's actually a love album. Like, I created only love songs. But I was able to piece it together with like a childhood story. So when thinking about that, it's like, I just looked at my life. I looked at a day in my life. And I was like, yeah, I'd like to tell a story based on just a day. And if you look at my love songs, I talk about a moment. Yeah, my love songs are really about a moment. Like a whole 4 minutes, three
you
minutes.
See? What? Okay.
It's just moments. It's never like, I never tell a story like, okay, in the morning this is what happened, and then the afternoon, da da da. Like, I don't do that anymore. I used to. Just one of the ways that I used to write songs. But now I only focus on a moment, a conversation. Like, a whole song will be based on just a back and forth, just one conversation that happens within, like, in reality, it could happen in 10 seconds. But I'll write a whole song about it. Or like a thought, like it did, that's really about a thought. Like that thought is ish. I wonder, with my person, what are they doing? I hope they're fine. It's a thought that we all have, you know, when we're working and we're doing our thing. We think about our significant partners or significant others, and we're thinking, hey, I wonder, all right. Or, you know, just that flash. You don't even tell a friend when that happens. You don't tell a colleague. You don't tell anyone. It's just something that happens. It's just a flash, just a thought, and then you focus on your job or whatever you're doing. And I wrote a whole song about that. So in Tinjal,
I see.
My inspiration is everywhere. It's the small things more than the big ones. To be honest with you, yeah, it's the small things.
Yeah, and you've been in the industry for quite a while. Close, it's over a decade also. Like, before we knew you and after we knew you. Looking back, what would you say, how would you actually, let me phrase it this way, how would you best describe your time in the industry throughout your journey to your recent music, to the recent you, to your evolution? Just include and maybe wrap it up, your journey in the industry. Wrap it up in that sense.
Yeah, for someone like me, I have to find ways that kind of that make sense for someone like me. Because I, like, personally, I'm not that type of person. So I have to find, I think that how I do it is through art. Like, I'll create, like, a nice song and put it out. And I think that's how I want to interact.
Yeah. Looking back, describing your career, because I think you were touching on the fact that your career was a discipline that you were supposed to be, like, admirable of, but now it just became an entertainment factor. But I want to know, looking back, are you happy with how things went? Or maybe describing the journey.
I mean, the journey was, like, crazy, you know. I started my career with The Soil. Broke up with The Soil at the height of The Soil, you know. I never got to experience what it felt like to be the highest selling a cappella group in the country and to travel the world. And I never got to experience that. And I contributed towards it, like, musically, you know. Like, I wrote, like, a lot of all that music from the first album, like, a lot, like, close to 70%.
Yes.
You know? So, and I was watching that from home, you know, and never planned, was unemployed, was making music still, but more art-based music, more crafty type stuff, like, stuff that only a few people would appreciate. I was still crafting, you know, increasing the, learning more about, like, the discipline, because I started my career as an a cappella artist. So I was doing a lot of a cappella stuff, trying to expand the reach of a cappella, trying to and other ways to compose. And I learned like a lot. Like I taught myself. Actually, I can't say I taught. Like I'm very careful about teaching myself. I don't think anyone can. I used to say that so hardly, Dala. But now that I'm older, I understand no one really teaches themselves. I mean, you learn it from somewhere. I don't know, man. I don't know how to summarize that story. I mean, I went from all of that. I was part of different bands. I traveled the country. I know what it feels like to perform without like a number one hit on radio. You know, I know how to set up concerts. I know how to sell your CD on the street. I know how to sell t-shirts. Like I've done all of those things. I know how to sell out shows without a hit song. You know, and then I was lucky enough to have the other side, you know. Made Agana Mali, biggest song in the country at the time, traveled the country, performed basically that one song like everywhere in the country. I know what that feels like. You know, I've had great albums, PTPT, really dope. I wouldn't know how to summarize my career. I don't think it would be fair for me to summarize it at this point. I do think I'm probably closing off like the first leg
of
my career. And I'm looking to at least have three legs of my career. So I think I'm closing it off now. Like,
how many years is one leg now? Do you know?
I think it needs to be based on movement.
Oh, okay.
I think it needs to be based on movement more than years. Because,
that's many years though, eh? For one leg only now.
Yeah, I mean, like one leg, close it off to do a whole circle.
Okay.
To do what I did. Like I started where, like, I was doing like art stuff. And then I went around and around, and then I did like commercial stuff. And then I'm coming back now. Like, the album is very artistic. You know, it's like very conceptual. I don't even know what's playing on radio right now. Or what's the biggest song on Apple Music. I don't know.
Why is that? Why is that? Was it intentional?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I just needed to create something artistic. Versus, like, something super commercial. Because like I said, you know, creating something commercial requires a different part of my brain, like, where I have to take something artistic and make it more commercial. And that in itself is a discipline, and I did some of that on this album, but not as much as I normally do. Like for example, this project isn't one song that's high tempo. And I know that, like, that goes against the rules, because, I mean, South Africa is a house and dance music market. Like, the commercial market loves that stuff. So me not going that route already puts me on the back foot. And then all my songs have, like, a lot of lyrics, you know? First verse, second verse, bridge, chorus. I don't do that when I do like commercial music. I don't know if this information is useful.
No, it is. Yeah. It is.
I don't know how to.
I also wanted to butt in and add something, but you said that your legs, right, career, because you define them as leg. You only close in the leg now. What would you say was that factor? Based on momentum, I get it, it's just a movement thing. It's not even based on years. What made you feel like, okay, now I've closed this leg? I understand that it's from being artistic, commercial, to being artistic again. So you would say the album has concluded, that's what's concluded your first leg of your career. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think the album is a nice close to a nice beginning, because what I did when I started was to be very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went all the way to being very commercial. Mm-hmm. And then now, like, I'm back. I think this album is like a nice middle, mm-hmm. where you have like songs that are very love song and like would be really like comfortable on a top 30 radio chart. Like, I've made songs like that, but at the same time, it's very conceptual and artistic in a way. So it's like a nice marrying of two disciplines, you know, one commercial, one very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm done. Like, I'm done with that. Like, even if I die tomorrow, I'd be happy with my work.
Oh, wow.
With my creative endeavors. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Part of you being in the industry, one would say it's not easy to navigate, right? It's not easy to go about the issues that you might face in the industry. How would you say that has affected you? Has that affected you in any way?
Oh, man.
Have you found ways to maybe mend bridges, if you've had any bridges that were, you know, tarnished along the way?
You know, man, the industry is rough, right? In the sense that when I started my career, we were signing deals that were similar to deals that were signed by James Brown in the 80s and in the 70s. It was very similar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I started my career, most deals that I got, I constantly spoke about owning masters.
Mm-hmm.
And they would laugh me out of rooms, you know. So it's one of those things where you kind of have to tough it out. You kind of have to tough it out. And like, a lot of people don't actually understand that part of the reason why I've taken some of the routes that I've taken,
mm-hmm.
including like some of my decisions to like make work with specific people and not with other people, is based on this business. Like, some of the business was really ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
To a point where I couldn't continue, you know. I've always taken that seriously because I understand what like a royalty payment means for an artist who hasn't had a hit song in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we take that for granted until, like, as artists, we reach a point where, like, we haven't actually gotten a hit in a long time. And we don't get requests for shows. And then you see, like, the power of ownership, you know, of that, like, how that is important. And I think because I understood that from day one for me,
mm-hmm.
That's the fight I've been fighting, like, in the career, in my music career.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I don't know, like, on a personal level, to be honest, like, on a personal, like, because I'm Geloenza, like, as, like, a participant in music,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's really tough. You know, personally, I'm just trying to formalize my endeavors, because, like, I'm just trying to pay my taxes on time.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to employ people legally.
Hmm.
You know, I'm trying to learn how to draft contracts. That makes sense.
Yes.
I'm trying to delegate all the other stuff that I might not know how to do personally to people who are competent. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, how to do this thing, like, properly. And that is the big fight in my career right now. Like, that's the big fight in the industry, in my interacting with the industry. Like, una mahim, you know, on social media, how people are talking about managers and whatnot. And some people are competent, some people are not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just feel like that's the big fight for artists. It's for us to actually understand how to formalize our businesses, and not to run them like Ipala Show. Because, you know, what's unfortunate about us is that, you know, someone who's an employee or works for the government, they can work for 20 years and then they retire and then they get their monies and at the end of their careers. But with musicians, like, in most cases, we get our monies in the beginning of our career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's our retirement money,
mm-hmm.
you know? And most of us, unless you have a way to constantly make money off of art, mm-hmm. you know, some of us need to kind of figure out a way to formalize our businesses in order for us to keep that money.
Yeah.
Because you know? I think that's the big challenge, I think, I have in reference to the music industry, because, you know, Mina, as an artist, like I've never been to school to learn about how to write a song, how to produce a song, how to put it up, how to hire people, how to, you know, all of those things. Like, I constantly, it's funny, you know, if you knew me personally, you'd know, I constantly am on the phone with people who work for corporate and have 9 to 5, and I constantly ask them, like, yo, so how do you hire someone like this? Or how do you hire someone like that? Because to be honest, the thing is so foreign to me. Like, when people talk about a corporate structure, I don't even understand half of the time. I don't understand it fully. Like, I don't know what an MD does compared to a PR person.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Really?
I'm not sure about those things, to be honest.
Oh.
I don't know what, you know, these titles, what do they mean, you know, and what do these people... So, for me, from this point on, going forward, if you ask me what I'm doing for my career or in the music industry, it's to just understand music business.
Oh.
Like, understanding and to formalize it. Because, to be honest, Tina, we've been running this thing at his Paza shop. If I'm not going to shows and performing, I don't know how to make money beyond that. And I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, I think as artists, we kind of have to understand. Because in most cases, what catches us is not everything else, you know. It's not the beliefs that we have. And it's the tax man.
Uh-huh.
It's the tax man coming 5 years later after you spend that money and one thing. His cut, and you're like, yo, I didn't even know I had to pay the tax.
Ish.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm grounding it a bit.
Yeah.
It's so hard to speak as an artist these days, because I feel like the magic is gone. I wonder when people are trying to ask me questions based on trying to write some magical stuff,
uh-huh.
you know, to talk about the... something ethereal, something in the sky,
uh-huh.
something metaphoric. It's tough for me because I don't live in that space much anymore.
For more, head on over to iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also follow us on all our social media platforms at Sowetan Live.